going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Program. I'm Lori Rubenson, talking sports, having fun with you here on The Fan. Here's the phone number, 888-808-1019. Go ahead and use it, Yankee fans. You just won a doubleheader. There's plenty to talk about. Yes, the closer demoted, the other closer promoted. Yankees sweep the doubleheader. As bad as Friday looked and felt, Sunday feels that much better. Game one, absolutely a trouncing, 11-2. And then game two, in a lot of ways, I mean, game one had Max Fried, and yes, an offensive explosion. But game two, Chris Bassitt, no joke, had not given up a home run all season. And the Yankees come in, they do damage. They score with the long ball, they score with the small ball. And good sign all around, Clark Schmidt pitches well, and then order restored with the bullpen and the way things are supposed to look. Luke Weaver comes in and shuts it down. No fuss, no muss. Yankee sweep, a doubleheader. All right, we're going to get into that. Yankee fans, if you want first crack at the phones, they are open. They are open for you, 888-808-1019. But here's how the show is going to go tonight, because we have, yes, Yankees win a doubleheader. Yes, Mets choked away a game today, bad bullpen. But we had a Knicks playoff game, and that is always a big deal around these parts. But if you missed it, this one was, there's a lot to get to and to break down with this basketball game. And not just a win, and not just a thrilling, gripping, suspenseful win for the Knicks. But on top of all of that, it's a one-point game. It's 94-93. It could have gone any which way. It looked great in the first half. It looked awful in the third quarter and into the fourth quarter. And then the tide turns and the Knicks win this one and take command of a series up now, 3-1, heading back to Madison Square Garden, that could have gone in a lot of different ways. So that is where we are going to lead off the program. Of course, then we're going to get to NFL draft. Huge, huge, huge few days. Giants and Jets and how the season may go. The Shedeur Sanders thing. There's so much to get into tonight. So, phone lines open, 888-808-1019. I have guests coming up. We've got Steve Popper from Newsday. He's in Detroit with some reaction there from the Pistons game. And then Ryan Dunleavy from The Post. We're going to break down the NFL draft. That's coming up later. All right. And your calls. And you can hit me up on Twitter, at L Rubenson. You want to join the program that way. I'll read some of those on X. I'll read off some of your tweets there. Got my guy Connor Green behind the glass producing all of that. Let's start with the Knicks. So here we go. They said that Karl Anthony Towns was soft. They said he wasn't tough enough. And then here we had clutch time when things are seeming bleak and the Knicks are down and they're scratching and they're clawing and they're trying to get back into this basketball game. And then this happened.
Up top for Towns. Five to shoot. Right side drive on Durant. Takes a dribble. Spins. Fade away. Got it! Towns with an impossible shot.
Kidding me?
Falling out of bounds on the right side. It's a two-point game again. Right corner, pump fake Ananobi. Baseline drive with seven to shoot. Towns up top. Pump fake. Sidestep. Right wing three. Got it for the lead! Karl Anthony Towns! Oh, what a shot! It's 94-93 New York with 46 seconds to go. And J.B. Bickerstaff calls timeout.
Courtesy the sound there from Knicks Radio 80. And does that sound like a player who is soft and not tough enough? Gives the Knicks the lead in this game. They said that Cade Cunningham was the best player in this series. They said that Jalen Brunson, so that means he's better than Jalen Brunson if he's the best player in this series. And last season, if you remember, they said that Jalen Brunson was not good enough to be superstar 1A in the playoffs. Not good enough. He's not 1A. And then he got injured. He's nursing a bad ankle. Goes down with a little over two minutes left in the third quarter. Hobbles off the court after getting Schroeder fell on his ankle. He hobbles to the sideline. He hobbles off the court. And you're wondering if he's going to come back and be able to play at all. He goes back into the locker room, either laces up his sneakers again, or maybe put on a new pair of sneakers, as Tom Thibodeau joked in the postgame, or maybe he put on a cape and came out, and all he did was, bad ankle or not, carry this Knicks team with Karl Anthony Towns. Yes, it was a communal effort, but the most clutch player in the NBA, not just an opinion on that, but the guy who just won clutch player in the NBA for the whole season, that guy came back out, and the Knicks are down seven heading into the fourth quarter. Brunson hobbling out with 8:35 left in this basketball game. The Knicks are down 11 points. And Brunson just has something in him that is a refuse-to-lose mentality. And if you are going to beat the Knicks, and beat specifically Jalen Brunson, he's not going to beat himself. He's going to do everything humanly possible to drag this Knicks team to a victory. And when the Knicks need him most, he does this.
Brunson, 8 points already in the fourth quarter. Knicks can tie up with a three. He'll try a three. It's good from the left wing. Jalen Brunson is red hot, and we're tied at 84.
A guy hobbling. Karl Anthony Towns and Jalen Brunson combine for 23 points in the fourth quarter. The Pistons as a team had 22. The Knicks, two guys there, outscored the Pistons as a team in the fourth quarter. So yeah, Jalen Brunson is the best player in this series. By the way, if you're seeing this, it's popped up. I think they said it on the broadcast. I saw it in an article from Mike Vaccaro. Seen it now multiple places. It seems hard to believe. But first four games of a playoff series in NBA history. First four games of any playoff series. Jalen Brunson is the first player ever to go for 30 or more points and 7 or more assists in the first four games of a playoff series, ever. So they said Cat was too soft. Wrong. They said Jalen Brunson, not the best player in this series. Wrong. And what they will also say, in this case they'll be right, is yes, there was a foul on that last shot attempt. So with 2 seconds on the clock, when the ball rolls over to Tim Hardaway Jr. on the baseline, and he goes up for the shot, does Josh Hart hip check him, hit him a little bit, make some contact there? Yes. Yes, he does. But if you want to call that, and you want to bitch and moan and cry about that missed call, then you can also rewind it a couple seconds and watch Josh Hart get fouled on the rebound attempt. And you can then rewind it a little before that and watch Jalen Brunson on his last layup that he makes in this game and watch Tim Hardaway Jr. foul him on a hip check. Should have been an and one. If this game was played in February, that would have been called an and one. This game was, and this series, this is being officiated differently. And there were, I don't know, 20, 30, 40 fouls they didn't call in this basketball game. If you really want to sit there and parse the whole thing out, there are a lot of fouls not being called in this game all over the place. Jalen Brunson is being fouled most of the time when he brings the ball up the court. He's getting hit all over the place. Fouls galore. They're not calling it. Credit to Josh Hart because he doesn't foul with his hands. He doesn't hit the shooter on the hands. Goes up straight there with his arms in a way so the official who has to be watching that, there's no foul. Does his hip hit into, you know, the leg? Do they go hip to hip? Yeah, there's contact. Again, if that's a Tuesday in February, maybe it's called. And you know what else? If your team has a challenge and you want to review that play, you could do that. Oops. No, you can't. You know why? Because, and I like JB Bickerstaff as a head coach, but when you use your challenge 5 minutes into a playoff game on a nothing, whatever call, and you get it wrong on a rebound with 5 minutes left in the, five minutes into the basketball game in the first quarter, then serves you right. You don't have a challenge when you need it. That's stupid. So, bad job out of you. Yes, it was a foul. This game was officiated differently, and there were plenty of foul calls missed. And all you have to do is watch Josh Hart getting shoved under the basket trying to get a rebound on that play before the ball squirts away. So, we can talk about it. We'll go through it. OG, defense, Cade Cunningham, missed shot at the end, Bridges. There are examples all over the place here to talk about and to dive into with this Knicks team. 888-808-1019. We got a phone call right here, though. Frank in Syosset wants to talk about the Yankees. Let's go to that. Hey, Frank, how are you?
Hey, Laurie, first time talking to you. It's a pleasure and an honor to talk to you.
Thank you so much, Frank. It was, look, phone lines are open. If Yankee fans want first crack at it, it was a terrific game for the Yankees, a terrific day for the Yankees when you consider how badly Friday went, Saturday the rain out, and you have to sit there with that bad taste in your mouth on Saturday, and you come here, you know, for Yankee fans who tune in on Yes, or you go out to the stadium today. If you wanted to script it, it really couldn't have gone any better.
Yeah, I agree, Laurie. We need a backup catcher. I was happy for Ascara today. Wells can't play 162 games. We need a backup catcher that can hit. and I was a little concerned about him not hitting, and he got his first home run today. And Rice caught the last inning of the first game. But can I tell you something off topic that I just need to get off my chest?
It depends. How far off topic are we talking about?
I went to an event today at the Portly Villager. Gio was guest bartending for Team Boomer for cystic fibrosis, and I got a chance to say hi to Gio, and I thought he was, you know, I thought he really gives you a he stopped what he was doing and looked me right in the eye, and he said, "How you doing, Frank? Thanks for showing up." And that really meant a lot to me, because he gave me a handshake, and it was a sincere handshake. And when he looked you right in the eye and he says that he's sincere, he means it. And I just think it's amazing with Boomer and Gio. And I know it hits home personal with Boomer's son, and he uses the fan as a platform. And I just met a bunch of great people there today, and I just I really appreciate it. Really hit me.
Sure.
You know.
Yeah. Sorry. When people say, can I go off topic, I usually worry, as you might imagine. Like, it can go in a lot of different directions. So I was not expecting you to take it in as nice a direction as you did. You're absolutely right. You're absolutely right that they do an amazing job. And Gio, when you actually talk to him in person, is quite a nice guy in my personal experience. And for what they do for cystic fibrosis, to your point, yes, you understand the personal story with Boomer, but you know, they, you know, to be able to take that and channel it into something so positive is certainly wonderful.
Thanks, Lori. Have a great night.
All right. Take care. Yes, the Yankee bats. Last caller's point on the Yankees. Well, it was a really good day for the Yankees, no doubt about it. And last week I came on the show and I asked a question, kind of a rhetorical question, but I said, at what point do the Yankees have to make a change with closer? Because it's one thing if you're a team and your closer struggles, but you don't have anybody else as a replacement. In this case, the Yankees are sitting on an obvious replacement. Somebody who did the job last year, came in as the replacement, showed he can do it, showed New York is not a problem in Luke Weaver. And so to have somebody who can handle the New York spotlight like that, when you have another guy who obviously is struggling and having issues, you know, you have to make, you can't just yak away games. You can't just yak away games and flush them. Yeah. I don't care if it's April. I know there were people who were telling me, well, it's too soon and all this sort of stuff. You can tell if a guy is either A, overwhelmed by New York, and whether that's the media scrum and attention. And then also, Susan used the word conviction. You can tell when somebody has lost confidence. And in his case, if he loses command and confidence with that changeup, I mean, that's his pitch. And then if he doesn't have any command or control with the fastball, if he can't get that over the plate, the fastball, and now a changeup is supposed to change off of something. If it has no ability to change off of your fastball at all, no threat of that, then what are you? What do you have? And so the move out, it just made so much sense. And obviously you move a guy out of a closer role. The nice thing is you can then predictably start to, you know, if you watch those Yankee games on YES and you see the bullpen budgets and you see how guys are being used, well, you don't know with a closer, when are you going to be in a closing situation? How often can you use the guy? It's more erratic. With a regular reliever, they can get him regular reps in the middle of games with a pattern, start to get him into a groove, start to work on things, and obviously it won't be as high leverage. So it was just such an obvious move. It had to happen. Fine for the Yankees. And to do it, they're still in first place. Nothing horrendous has happened, but now is the time to do it. you have a good closer. You can always put him back in mid-season if he gets into the kind of form that you would like from him. All right, let's go to Neil in Greenwich. What's going on, Neil?
Hey, Lori. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Hey, Neil. Welcome to the program. What do you want to talk about?
Yeah, nothing. Hey, thanks. You know, actually, I wanted to first say a couple of things. I'm a Wharton undergrad. I heard last fall when you were talking about Barkley that you were a Wharton MBA, and so I
won't necessarily divulge my year because then that gives away my age, which uh-huh. You know, people can just they can generally maybe figure it out, but but I'll tell you, I'm heading to campus in a few weeks. I have a reunion coming up, so looking forward to that. My Wharton friends, both my undergrad and grad school friends of mine from college and grad school are some of my closest friends, so looking forward to that.
That's great. I've always been impressed by you. I think you're extremely knowledgeable, balanced, well-spoken. And when I found out or heard you were Wharton, I said, wow, that's really impressive that you have a day job and you do this, I don't know, for fun or what, but you do a great job. I think you're fantastic. And I've listened to the WFAN since it started in 87. Reason I was calling, you mentioned the phone line was open, so I wanted to compliment you, and that was the first reason. The other only thing I want to mention from a sports standpoint was I thought the Jets made a terrible decision to pass up on Sanders. I'd be honest, I'm not a big college football fan. I don't watch, I barely saw anything about him, so I'm not going to sit here and say I'm knowledgeable. But
every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
My point is, if he was consensus, you know, second, third round type talent, and you're a team that has Justin Fields and nobody else in the quarterback room, why not pick him in the fourth round? You know, why take a safety? Like, what are you getting from a fourth round safety that, you know, you're going to pass up an opportunity to get a kid who, you know, may be pretty talented? You know, what's the downside? And I know the pushback is, well, you know, his attitude and Deion and, you know, which I say is nonsense. By the fourth round, the guy's been humiliated for 2 days on national television. Everybody's talking about it. They know the family knows, he knows he's on thin ice. And you just make a point to the kid saying, hey, look, you know, we're going to bring you in, but if there's any nonsense, we're going to cut you. And the team is bigger than the individual. And I'm sure you're going to get the kid on best behavior, having gone through that experience, not to mention super motivated. And again, I don't know if he's great or not, but again, for a fourth round pick, I do not understand. You there?
Yeah, I'm here. If you want to wrap this up, because I will respond.
I will. Okay. I will. My last point on this was, when I heard how Glenn and the GM treated Rodgers, and we can say whatever we want about Rodgers, it made me think, like, maybe these guys aren't that mature, you know?
Well,
and
the
maybe
only
they're
thing,
not equipped to handle.
Yeah. The one thing about it, so thanks for the call, Neil. On Aaron Glenn and how they, quote-unquote, treated Aaron Rodgers, I'll just say this. We only really have one side to that story, and that came from Aaron Rodgers himself on the McAfee show and whatever. We're hearing his side of the story. How did it really go, and what was said, and how did it happen? I don't know. I'm not sure on that. So I'm going to reserve judgment on Aaron Glenn on that one. On this situation, I think the words, I want to say somebody, I think, in the New York Post, it may have even been Ryan Dunleavy, used the words no-nonsense approach with Aaron Glenn. And I think that with Shedeur Sanders, I'll get into this, but because it will require longer than just a couple of minutes, and I'm up against it, need to take a break. But I think there was a perfect storm here that caused him to drop. And I'll make a prediction right now about Shedeur Sanders. I think he will be a really good teammate in the building with the Cleveland Browns. And any concerns about that, I think, will be unfounded. That's my prediction. So if that's what people were worried about, I think that that's unfounded. But I think a perfect storm happened to make him fall, and we'll talk more about that. All right, Moose and Tony, I see you. But we're going to take a break. When we come back, I will be joined by Steve Popper of Newsday. He is in Detroit covering Pistons-Knicks game 4. So we'll get that update, the post-game reaction, big playoff win for the Knicks. And then, of course, we'll come right back to your calls. Keep it tuned here.